There's one word that we use. We speak the same way, the word the same, but they have different meaning. In my place, when I use the word, it means now. But in the next city, if you use the same word, it means later. So if we meet and say, let's meet, using that word. And I say now, but for that person, it means later. Because the same word means different in two different languages. That shows our difference. Because of our differences, conflicts arise. Sometimes, because of our differences, we quarrel. We don't understand each other. But today, as we look at the short passage that we're going to think through, I hope that this will enable us to think again in the midst of being different. There are many things that we are similar. They're the same. Allow me to read that passage again and carefully listen. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling in which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. As I've said earlier, this passage could be preached in with the three letter C's. We could talk about our calling. We could talk about our conduct. And we could also talk about our confession. But today I'm going to use more of the pastoral style to look at the same things that we have. Yet, because even if we are different, just like the church in Ephesus, people gathered in the same place, coming from different backgrounds, social status, and religious background. But they were gathered together to be transformed and to fulfill the calling of spiritual and cultural transformation. But what is so interesting about this passage is that when you go back to the first three chapters of Paul's letter, I think the first three chapters is about doctrine. And starting with chapter 4, Paul is now talking about ethical considerations. Now that we know who we are and what we are in Christ, then how should we live according to the truth of being in Christ? So as a result of knowing our standing in Christ, then Paul says, I urge you to walk according to the manner of your calling. I urge you to walk worthy of the calling that you have been called. The word calling here occurs three times in this passage. One in verbal form and two in noun form.
一次呢, 是动词, 两次,
And that's very important as we look at our calling in the midst of the world that we live in the midst and among Christians that we dwell together with. So our calling is to conform. To conform to the unity that is given to us through the Spirit. So when Paul wrote this letter, he said, you know, I come humbly before you as a prisoner to urge you to walk accordingly. That he himself as a prisoner showed his humility before the church in Ephesus. So in the end, how do we fulfill this calling then? And Paul says, to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Maintain the unity of the Spirit. In other words, Paul is saying we are not the ones who create the unity, but the unity is already there because of the Spirit. Last Sunday, I was talking with a good friend. And he told me that his daughter was going to be baptized in April. But he asked me one thing, you know, my daughter has a lot of questions about how we do church. And he proceeded to ask me, why are there so many denominations among the Christian community? And so why are there Baptists and Presbyterians and then Pentecostals and Lutherans and many other different denominations? And so can we just sit together and call ourselves one kind of church, that the Roman Catholic Church? I said, I think that's difficult. because there are several reasons to that, and I tried to explain to him. But yet in the end, as I explained more, the more confused he was. And so in the end I said, I'll just write you an email so that you can read what I'm saying. But that's always the question that we ask, right? I mean, there's the unity of the Spirit, yet on the other hand, practically, we are not united. It's different here in the seminary. We sit together, we sit in the dining hall, we talk together, we eat together, but once we leave BSOP, then we go back to where we belong. We go back to our own churches, we go back to our own denominations, we go back to our own church tradition. Now, I don't have all the answers for this. But I hope that in the spirit of unity, as found in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, then we can still maintain that kind of unity that we have in Christ and in the Holy Spirit. Because our being the same is more important than our being not the same. Our similarities are more important than our not being similar at the same time. And that's what Paul is trying to tell us today, and that's what Paul told me today. Because if you go back to chapter 1 of Ephesians, he talks about our being united in Christ. We find our identity in Christ. Reading the first chapter of Ephesians 1 alone helps you and reminds you of who we are in Christ. Our being in Christ, our being bound to Christ, is already enough to show to us that we are the same. We have the same identity. All of us belong to Christ. And that alone is a way, is a manner of showing our unity in the church, in the body of Christ. But in chapter 4 of Paul's letter, he directs this message by saying, be diligent or be eager to maintain the unity that we have. In some translations, the word is eager. Do it with enthusiasm. Do it with joy that we have this unity as found in the Spirit. In other translation, the word is diligent. Diligent means to do it with effort. Do it with a lot of effort so that we can maintain that spirit that we have in Christ. And there are two things that we observe of that unity that we have in the Spirit. Now, first of all, none of us created that unity. We were not the ones who created that unity as found in the Spirit. Although we are already united in Christ, but Paul reminds us that we must promote that unity. We must preserve the unity that we have. We must consciously do that, or else we can easily be drawn apart because of our differences. So in the midst of differences here in the seminary, then it takes more effort to bring that unity together. Because there are so many things in our midst that would draw us apart rather than draw us together. Now, for example, I look like a Chinese. But when you Chinese students speak to me, you immediately find out that I'm not the Chinese at all. And the first response that you Chinese, when China students from China look at me and say, oh, you're not Chinese. You're not Chinese at all. Because the very first thing that should show me as a Chinese is the language gap that we have. So instead of drawing us together, it draws us apart. Immediately, a gap is opened up because we cannot, and we do not, and we are not able to communicate with each other. So to bring that unity, to preserve that unity, then you and I need extra effort to do that. That means that I have to strive to speak better Chinese. Yet on the other hand, you also strive to speak better English in our midst. So you can communicate with me in English, and I can also communicate with you in Chinese. So we do not create the unity. The unity is already there. We don't create that. It is already there. We are here to promote that unity and to preserve that unity. That's the truth that we hold on to. Secondly, we also discovered that unity is a product. It's not something that we buy, right? A product that we produce. But it's a product of the cross. So when you look at the first three chapters of Paul's letter, he talks about the cross, he talks about the division between the Jews and the Gentiles, but finally they're placed together because of the product of the cross. So we discovered that our unity is God's work in Christ. Because Christ came to this world and he died for us. And as a result of the cross, then we have that product called unity in our midst. It's not something that we aim for the sake of unity alone. But it's something that's already there for our taking. It's a product that resulted from Christ's work on the cross of redemption for you and I. And that particular unity comes from the Holy Spirit. Just as we were being called to that unity in Christ and in the Holy Spirit. So in other words then, our being the same is more important than our being not the same. I'm going to give an example of what just happened earlier with Elder Lim and I. As I was seated there, Elder Lim came in and said, "Oh, it seems to be cold," so he also put on a jacket. So I have a jacket, a coat, he also has a coat. But if you observe Elder Lim very carefully, his clothing is really, really very, very culturally different. He looks Chinese, he looks Filipinos, and he looks also Western. He has a blue denim on. And he also has a barong inside. And then he has an outer coat on his barong. Now, I think the Americans in our midst will be laughing at him. But we are that way. We are really diverse. We are different. We are different in many sense. But because of the unity that we have, the Apostle Paul reminds us again of seven things that we hold on to that make sure that we have that unity. And these seven things are described with an adjective, the word one. The adjective is one. We have one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. And the most important of all, one body. And if you look at these seven things, they can be categorized as the work of the Holy of the Trinity. So the Trinity is involved in our confession here. Yet on the other hand, we can also look at the seven things biblically. For example, we have the same body. We have the same hope. We have the same confession. And we have the same Father. So four of these things are good enough to make sure that we hold on and promote to that unity that we have. First of all, we belong to the same body. But even though we belong to the same body, yet we are different parts of the body. So we belong to the same body, yet we are different in the same body. And that's what Paul continues to express and explain later on after verse 6 of chapter 4. The diversity of gifts that we have. Many times when we look at ourselves, when we look at you, we have diversity of gifts. We have different gifts. And I think the purpose of the gifts is to make us different in our service to God. So your gift is different from mine. Our gifts are different from each other. But we are called together to serve the same body, in the same body to serve the same Lord. So gifts by themselves make us different. But don't forget that the same Spirit also gives us the fruit of the Spirit. On the one hand, we serve the Lord in different manners using our gifts. Yet on the other hand, with the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, then we are continued and we are being transformed to be the same in the body of Christ. We belong to the same body. Secondly, we have the same hope. I'm sure that all of us are looking forward to our full redemption in heaven one day. Our hope makes us live in such a way with joy and enthusiasm. Our hope is that one day we will be with our Lord Jesus Christ forevermore. And to live in that great city that God has prepared for us. Hope is not something that we wish for other people. In the modern usage of the word hope, it's more of a wish rather than something that we look forward to. If you're sick and you come here and say, oh, I hope that you'll get better soon. But because when I say I hope that you get better soon, it doesn't mean that you get better soon. Because hope in that context means I wish. But the hope that we have is a living hope, as according to Peter. The hope that we have is Christ Himself. Because we look forward to being with Him in the future. Whenever we think about Christ in the future, that should bring a smile in our face, knowing that He, our Lord and our Savior, we will be with Him forevermore.
Okay.
Thirdly, we have the same confession. According to Paul, we have one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We recognize that there's only one Lord in this universe, and that is Christ Himself. And we also have the same faith, that we hold on the same belief. And we are baptized into Christ as well. Although we may belong to different traditions in our church ministry, maybe some of our statement of faith could be different from other statement of faith. Some of our baptism may be different from other baptism. But the most important thing is that we have the same faith and we have the same baptism. Whether you are immersed as an adult or you are baptized as an infant, it doesn't matter. As long as you are baptized into Christ. We have the same confession, the same Lord, the same faith, as well as the same baptism. And finally, we belong to the same family. We have the same Father. In any place in the world, when you cry to God and we cry in prayer, we call the same Father, right? Because you don't only belong to the same body, but we have the same Heavenly Father. And that should be one thing to pull us together, to draw us together. That whenever we are gathered together, we call on to the same Father who is in heaven. And according to theologians, it's one of the greatest dogmatic teaching or doctrine in the Bible. The doctrine of adoption. In the past, we were enemies of God. Enemies and rebellious of Him. Rebellious as well. We never like God. We never like our Heavenly Father. But one day Christ came. And as we put our faith and trust in Him, according to Romans, we were adopted into the family of God. We now belong to that family. And as a result of that, you and I are called children of God. And we are brothers and sisters in Christ. As a result of that, we call on the same Father. We call on the same Abba, who is our Father in heaven. So whether you're in your room or here in this chapel place or in your classroom or in the library, when you call out to our Heavenly Father, you and I have the same Father in heaven. Isn't that a great thing? Do you know why that's so important to me? But being adopted into God's family, wow, that's the greatest thing. The greatest thing that we will ever have in this world is that we have a Heavenly Father. Our parents will pass away, we ourselves will pass away, but the Father that is eternal is our Heavenly Father today. So I hope that we can do that. That despite our diversities, Despite our differences, despite our dissimilarities, despite of the things that we don't like and we like, here in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, we want to preserve and maintain the unity that we have. And to end, Paul says, do this with gentleness and humility and patience and bearing with one another in love. And that's the most difficult thing to do, right? Who among us are humble? Who among us are gentle enough to do that? Who among us are patient to do that? And who are among us are bearing enough to love each other? I'm not humble. Sometimes I'm not gentle. I'm particularly impatient. And it's difficult to bear each other in love. May the Lord help me. Amen.